Tonight we begin in chapter 10 of 1 Corinthians. We are in verse 23. And to kind of set all of this up, we need to kind of review just for a really hot second what we covered last week, which was we talked about the Passover Supper. We talked about some of those steps in that. We talked about breaking bread. We talked about drinking the cup. We talked about, you know, all of the steps of the Passover and why they were so important, and that Paul references this cup of thanksgiving, that which is the cup where Jesus said, "This is my blood that is shed for you. This do, drink ye all of it. This do in remembrance of me." We said last week that we are participants. We are engaged in this meal whenever we take part in communion. We're going to look at that in 2 weeks more, because Paul has more to say about it. He's just introduced that topic. But what he wants us to understand is that we are engaged with Jesus, and the example that he gave, that Jesus gave to us, is that of selflessness, as he allowed himself to be taken to the cross, as he allowed himself to die on the cross, as he gave his life for us. All of that was in selfless behavior. He did not fight it. He did not refuse it. He didn't want to go, but he went, and obedience to his Father. So Paul is used that as a springboard to move forward with our topic this evening, which is all of our Christian freedoms that we have. And so that's where we start tonight in verse 23. He says, He says, "Everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible, but not everything is constructive." Some of your Bibles in the word beneficial may be helpful. Some of your Bibles where it says constructive in mine says it does not build up or edify. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And then in verse 24 it says, "Nobody should seek his own good, but the good of others." So, I don't have questions as much as just going through this outline that Paul has given to us. And first of all, Paul is going to address three options that the Corinthians seem to be at. One, they have this presumption of freedom. So we will call this, so there's a fancy biblical word for that, which means I have free license to do whatever I want in the gospel, right? The word is licentious. I have licentious behavior. It's not necessarily the fact that they're a terrible, it's that I have freedom to do whatever I want because God has made everything, and I can do anything in the freedom of the gospel, right? I am free. I don't have to worry about anything else. So we're going to use the word freedom, right? So the first group is this free to do anything group. Right? Everything is permissible. That was the theme. We've already talked about that back in chapter 6, chapter 5. That was the theme within Corinth. Everything is permissible, right? But it's not helpful. It may not be edifying. The second group, the second extreme, so we have this I can do anything I want group. The second group is all the way to the other side. We use that word as legalism. And that is those who have strict rules that they can or cannot do X, Y, Z, right? I grew up in an environment like that. You grew up in an environment like that. Many of us probably did grow up in a extremely strict. You cannot, should not, must not, cannot, can't. All you ever learned at church was what you cannot do. Right? That was my experience. In fact, when I got baptized at age 8, I sat at the table and I read the Constitution and I read the bylaws and I read the rules of the church. My dad was a deacon. And I sat down at the table with my dad after reading, because my uncle and I were going to get baptized on the same day. We did. We read these rules, and I looked at my dad and I said, "I don't know what to do." He goes, "What do you mean?" I said, "We don't follow these rules now. I can't join the church because I'm not going to follow these rules." What was in there? You can't have VCRs. You can't go to the movie house. You can't, let's see, that was 1978, so I already, you know, Star Wars just came out. We just saw it, right?
Dang it.
I can't join the church because I just went to the movie house.
You went to watch Star Wars?
I wanted to go down to the rolling rink, right? But they played music that I wasn't allowed to listen to, according to that. I couldn't listen to the radio. All I could listen to was 103.5 Easy Listening. I can't remember what it was called. Anyway, it was Easy Listening. That's all I was allowed to listen to. All of these rules, right? Because we couldn't have VCR. Well, we had a VCR. Well, we had a Laserdisc. We didn't have a VCR, so we were okay because we didn't have what was in the rules. See what I'm saying? Legalism kind of takes an ugly toll, and it can take this ugly turn, right? And Paul is actually going to address this, and I will tell you, when we get down into verse 20, I can't remember which one it is right now. When we get down into the latter part of our study tonight, I have been struggling with these two verses, these two questions that Paul asks for years. And I've prayed about it. I've listened to all kinds of people speak about it. I've read commentaries about it. And I think what it boils down to is each one of these questions is asked of a particular group. One of them was free to do anything, and one of them was completely legalistic. And that makes sense in the tone in which he asks. So the third group that Paul is going to address tonight is this third option, and that is, it has a bunch of rules, quote unquote, with it. But what actually happens is the question is, does it glorify God and serve others? Right? So we're going to write number three, serve others / glorify God. And it has a purpose. So, with that framework, as we begin the last couple of minutes of our time together, Paul says, "Hey, look, everything's permissible is what you say, and I say not everything is beneficial. You say everything's permissible, but not everything's going to build somebody up." And we have to take note. We have to take notice of that. And so we should not, in verse 24, it says, "Nobody should seek his own good, but the good of others." That's his springboard for what we're going to talk about. And his actual purpose comes in the second to last verse that we read tonight. So with that, let's go on to verses 25 and 26.
"Whatsoever is sold in the shambles, that eat, asking no question for conscience' sake. For the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof."
Very good. So, the shambles, anyone have another word for that? The meat market.
Yeah.
So he says, "Hey, now we just last week talked about don't eat meat offered to idols. You can't go to the... Now we're going to say, go eat the meat. But don't ask questions about it. Right? If you go down to the meat market, you need to buy some meat for your family, don't ask where it came from. Keep your conscience clear. Right? That's what he's saying. Who is that addressing?
The legalistic.
The legalistic. He's like, look, that meat is affordable to feed your family. Don't ask where it came from. It's not important. Why? What's the answer in verse 26 that he says? He quotes, for everything... What does he say? I'm sorry.
The earth is the Lord's and all that is in it.
Yeah, the earth is the Lord's and everything that's in it, and the glory thereof. So, that phrase is a Jewish prayer of thanksgiving that they would often quote and repeat every single meal, every single day. In fact, they would only look at just the first part of it. So I don't know if you grew up with a grandpa like this, but I had a grandpa, and every single year we would go down for Thanksgiving. Once in a while we'd go down for Christmas, but every Thanksgiving, this was the prayer. Come, Lord Jesus, be our guest. May this meal be blessed. Amen. Amen. They always said amen. Okay? Every single, whether we had breakfast, lunch, or supper, and especially on Thanksgiving, on the day of great Thanksgiving and the whole family's there, come, Lord Jesus, be our guest. May this meal be blessed. Amen. Now, in and of itself, that's a good prayer, but my brother and I would sit there and go, do they talk to God? Right? My point is, the Jews had this very same thing going on. They say, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. It's all good. So let's read. Turn over to Psalms chapter 24. Psalms is in the middle of the book. Isaiah, Proverbs. We were in Proverbs for a long time. Keep on going back towards the front. You get to Psalms. And I'll go ahead and read this.
My arthritic fingers, I can't.
I'll wait. Psalm 24.
There's... Turn two pages sometimes and go 15 chapters. You know? Yeah, 32, 22. Well, I can get it right here.
There you go. Psalm 24. Here's what it says, and this is how it begins. And this is the verse that Paul is quoting. He says, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. For he founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. David continues. He says, who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Who may stand by his holy place or in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to an idol or swear by what is false. He will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from God, his Savior. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, O God of Jacob. So lift up your heads, O gates. Lift up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is the King of glory? Yahweh, strong and mighty. Yahweh, mighty in battle. So lift up your heads, you gates. Lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is he, this King of glory? Yahweh, almighty. He is the King of glory. A prayer of thanksgiving that Paul is referring to back in 1 Corinthians. And it's more than just saying, well, everything is from the Lord, right? They're reciting that prayer daily, all the time. And he's reminding them, hey, everything is from the Lord. It's okay. Eat it. I liked that whole psalm. It has encouraged me this week. That's kind of why I read it, because it was encouraging. I faced a couple of things this week where just knowing that God is almighty and he has a name. Anyway, that was free. So verse 26, he says, eat it, don't worry about it. And he's addressing this legalistic group. So now let's read on to verse 27.
If any of those who do not believe invite you to dinner and you desire to go, eat whatever is set before you, asking no question for conscience' sake.
Okay. So first of all, what is he saying here?
If someone invites you over, just go and enjoy it. Don't ask. Like, you know, I don't think if you go over to someone's house, if they're inviting you, there's no need to be like too legalistic. Like, where did you get this from?
Yeah.
Go and enjoy it. You know, you're a guest. They invited you over.
So how does the group who is legalistic, how do they view this? Remember, the key word in this beginning of this verse is that they're an unbeliever. They're not of like mind. They're an unbeliever.
It's a tolerance thing. They think by entering that home, you're agreeing with the way they live because you're sharing space with them.
Right.
We're supposed to surround ourselves to like with good like morals and beliefs like put in place. Like, you know, we are who we are, we're not going to move on that, but like we're supposed to surround ourselves with people that aren't believers too, because at the end of the day, like, how are you supposed to go out and share the gospel with somebody if they already know it? Like, you know, you're supposed to go out and talk to people about those things and like tell them, this is my testimony, this is what I believe, and you know, this is why I feel so passionate about it. Like, you know, you're supposed to do those things.
Good.
But you're not supposed to partake like in the way that they live, like, you know, or what they do. I mean, like, there is a healthy of we disagree to disagree, but you know what? I'm still your friend and I'm still here for you and I'm, you know, I'm gonna be here with you.
Yeah. I'm willing to come this far.
Yeah.
So how does the I can do whatever I want group respond to this?
I can do whatever I want.
Right? How does this statement impact that behavior, that lifestyle?
Repeat your question. Sorry.
How does verse 27 impact the first group? There, I can do anything I want. It's all good.
Well, it puts no limits on them, so there's no fear at that point. They can just do whatever they want. And it reminds me of the one friend that I've had a conversation with where she believes that God is more of a forgiving God. So at the end of the day, even if you do commit sin, to her belief is, even if you do sin, right, or you have sin in your life, but you've tried to be a really good person, at the end of the day, when you get to God, God's going to be like, it's okay, I know you had good intentions. Mm. He's just gonna let you in. And it's one of those things where it's like, you know, I think a lot of people these days, at least for my generation, believe like God is an overly forgiving God, where it's like that is not the case whatsoever.
He but does puts, forgive.
Yeah, but it puts no limitations to anything. Right. No restrictions, no limitations. No
so rules. So far, right. So far the freedom person has they're not necessarily impacted by this verse.
Yeah, they're like, all right, let's go for it. God said so.
Unbeliever, hey, look at that. I can go wherever I want.
God said so. Let's do it.
Yeah. Sooner or later, the situation's going to develop to where it is going to affect.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. It always affects you at the end.
So here, here's
why I get drunk and drink, and it not really affects you, but if one day you have a car wreck and kill somebody,
it affects you.
It's infectious.
Plus, it doesn't fill your cup full spiritually knowing that you're doing that. At the end of the day, like, you may have felt good in the moment, but my firm belief is at the end of the day, even if a long time ago you've, you know, you know, accepted Jesus in your heart or whatever, you kind of strayed away from your walk with God. I believe at the end of the day, like, that Holy Spirit is still inside you, nagging at you, and be like, you shouldn't have done that. And it still kind of fills, it's an empty hole inside of you, and you're like, what am I doing wrong? Like, what do I not have in my life that's going to fulfill me? Because going out and drinking with friends was fun, but now waking up in the morning with a hangover, and I feel 10 times awful, and I don't know what's wrong with me.
That's when you just pour another drink. I mean, good grief.
Yeah.
What are you?
That's why he told me when I was drinking. He said, man, I felt terrible. I had a terrible night last night. You know, it wasn't worth it. I didn't have another drink after that.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, isn't there somewhere that for believers, okay, they kind of shy away and start struggling. Doesn't something in my mind tells me that God is more harsh on those type of people than people that just don't know Him?
He is.
I think that's 100%.
It's harder. It's harder to know Him and not follow the rules than it is not to know
Yes.
Him.
Yes. There is no way you look at this, there is no gray. Huh? It's just black and white. And, like, you know, when you try to justify things, like, oh, well, you know, I didn't quite do that, but I kind of danced around it a little bit. It's like, no. There's no gray. And I get that. I get people wanting to justify things because, you know what, in the moment, it does feel good. And we're all human. Like, you know, I get that. I can understand that perspective. But at the end of the day, that being said, it's black or white. Like, you know, it's not us that determines it. It's God. Like, you know.
So on that, let's look at verse 28, because now he's going to switch the conversation and address a different and address the group that's all free to do whatever and the legalistic group again. So how does he address this in verse 28?
But if anyone says to you, this meat has been offered in sacrifice to an idol, do not eat it out of consideration for the one who told you and for conscience sake.
Okay. And read the first part of verse 29, like the first sentence.
In my conscience, I mean for the sake of the other man's, not yours.
Okay. So we'll talk about the second half of that in just a minute. So now, what did Paul just say?
If you know it, don't eat it.
If you know it, don't eat it.
If a person made a point of telling you that.
Right. If they made a point to tell you that, hey, this was offered to an idol yesterday, or rather this morning, and it's fresh because we just got it from the temple, what are you supposed to do?
Sorry.
Refuse. You know,
refuse. Right? Now, how does group number one, the freedom group, how do they respond? What is the struggle that they're going to struggle with now?
Not offending the person or saying no. Sorry,
yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, okay. They are struggling with the fact that they can do anything they want, but now there's consequences.
Now there's consequences to doing something, right? So how does the legalistic group go?
Yeah, I've got a rule.
Right? Just don't ask, guys. We're good. Don't ask, everybody. We're good.
Right, yeah. So how is Paul addressing these guys? I mean, he's giving them some serious things to think about, right? I mean, this is real for them. It's just as real. So going to the bar, going to the drink, whatever, is real for us. This was real for them, right? This was just as difficult a decision, right?
Well, the problem with getting drunk and stuff is you are not in control of yourself.
Right.
And there is no telling what you're going to say or do or whatever. And that's a problem. And if you are a believer and you have the Holy Spirit is not going to lead you down a path that you shouldn't go. So that means if you did that you disobeyed. That you went the wrong way and not the right way.
Correct.
I'm just saying that way. So there's that.
The right way is always left.
I do think there's something to be said of like this offering, like the fact that like there's we're using like the drinking as our kind of example for us nowadays, but like this is referring to like somebody who's in a different faith. You know, there's Christians who believe drinking is a complete sin. There's Christians that think it's fine. I think there's, you know, like, I think what Paul's really getting at is more or less the action. And again, like, you need to be around these people. Yes, there is black and white, but you're not going to change the black to white without stepping next to the black. You know, there's, right. These are people who fundamentally are against God.
So interestingly, when we reference, when we look back at Psalms chapter 24, part of that says, who has this grace? Who has this blessing? Who gets the blessing from God? Those who are not participating and giving their soul over to an idol and participating in that behavior, right? So it's interesting that Paul, he's using this blessing phrase to remind them of this prayer that they pray every day. Hey, if I don't go with an idol, I get the blessing of God. And he's specifically stating that this meat from an idol is being offered. You don't want to participate in that, right? And you're right. It is what we're comparing is apples and oranges when we're comparing to them to us, mm-hmm. as to what we're talking about. But it is about the closest comparison that I think we can come up with.
Yeah, you can put something else in there. They're basically talking about an animal being sacrificed. But, but we could be talking about people down the road that are still on TV and say, hey, you want a TV? I mean, you could put anything into place to where you idle that project or that thing more than you do now, basically. Well,
say you go to the football game, you know, or you know that football game is sponsored and it, you know, it, some of the money that the people sponsor is going to child labor laws, or you know, or maybe, I don't know, you know, it could be many things. Like for me, maybe the guys just want to go to Hooters or something. It's like, no, that's not really a place that I should be. So I mean,
that's where I'm struggling with the application of this, because I feel like things are a lot more televised than they were back when this is written. We know a lot more about that guy selling. We know a lot more about Walmart than we know than what some Joe Schmo you were meeting at the market. You can really take this, and that may just be me who loves rules, and it is easily going to fall down that thing where I'm saying, no, I know Walmart does some not good things. Maybe I shouldn't, you know, be giving them my business. Or like, no, I know this company supports whatever laws. Like, I can't not ignore it because it's there right in my face. They have stickers of it on the wall when I walk in. I can't really, there's no not asking that question.
Do I boycott Target or do I still go shop at Target?
Yeah, it's not that I'm not asking the question. They're throwing that in your face. That's their identity.
And that's hard.
The tough part is if you go around to different churches, you'll see that this group believes so many things and are very serious about it. This group believes so many things and are very serious about it. And most of the time, a lot of things that this group takes very seriously, this group doesn't have a problem with it. You know what I mean? And it's like you have to find a common ground between the two, or you will always struggle with the thing, because no matter what you do, one group or the other is saying you're doing something wrong. So you have to, I'm trying to navigate through that, because
the serious one is doing worse than the other one.
That's why I was using that example of like going out to eat, because we're talking about food. It's like, yeah, I could be invited to go out to lunch with the guys. I don't know. Yeah, I'll agree to it. But then it's like, okay, we're going here. No, I'm not going to go there.
Yeah.
Because now I know where we're going.
So check the very last phrase in the first part of verse 29. I call it 29a. What does that sentence say? I don't say this for your conscience sake, but whose?
The other person's.
What does that mean?
So the other person knows that, oh, maybe this is wrong because this person's not partaking of this meal. This is kind of funny because, not to go down too much rabbit hole, but I had a conversation literally about this the other day with my mom, talking about, like, when doing counseling, respecting the dignity of choice and risk that a client makes. Like, you know, I have a client that we've talked, we've had numerous sessions about their use of cocaine. And they tell me, like, you know, I'm really just going through a rough patch right now. I just need to go back. I just need to engage in that a little bit. Where, you know, I look at them and I say, okay, I'm like, you know, we've had these conversations, but, you know, if you're going to do it, then there's nothing I can do to stop you. That's your choice. And that's you taking risks. And my mom, you know, she's kind of like, well, why can't you just, you know, look at them and just point out and say, like, hey, that's sin, that's wrong. It's like, I agree with you. Absolutely, I agree with you. I could look at that person and say, this is wrong, stop it, you know? But they're also gonna look at me and, you know, when you tell somebody to stop it, more than likely their gut reaction is, well, I'm gonna do it anyways, because you told me to stop it. Like, you know, I don't like rules, I don't like regulations. But it's like, well, we can have a conversation, let's sit and talk together. And I want you to tell me, like, what is wrong. And I want you to tell me, like, you know, this wasn't good for me and I shouldn't be doing this, instead of I pointing it out to you. Like, you know, if you can come down to that conscious decision, you know, if I can, if we can get to that point where you can break it down and you can tell me what's wrong, then, you know, you're on the right path. But it's like in a weird mix of, like, having to have those, like, limitations and things set in a respectful manner, but also, like, respecting that a person is going to make the choices that they make, and at the end of the day, you can't really stop them from doing that. Like, you know, it's like a double sword.
Yeah, I can take the light. Other people are watching me. Like, if I go there, you know what I mean, and I partake in it, then other people that are watching me say, well, he's a believer, he's doing it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So, you know, people learn by watching what we do.
Yeah.
It's like what we said, you know, if somebody invites him to go to a bar to have a lunch and he says no, then the other people can, any other group might say, well, you know, he's not going, so.
Yeah, absolutely.
So people definitely watch what we do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Very, they do. Very closely. And they even actually write it down. Mm-hmm. Write it down.
There are many unsaved people that think Christians are just hypocrites because they think, quote, Christians doing exactly what they do. Yeah. There's no difference. So that's a problem.
Part of all of this, during the dispensation of grace, you have the Holy Spirit indwelling you. The convicting spirit, that's mostly what it's about. Can they convict you of sin and righteousness? And if you're not, if you know you're doing something wrong, you know, you may, the cashier gave you back a dollar and too much change. That's a simple thing. You know, nothing. You didn't rob the bank and get $30,000, just a dollar. And then you know that the count was wrong, and it's wrong in your favor. And you don't do anything about it to correct it. If the Holy Spirit don't convict you, somebody's asleep. You or the Holy Spirit are one.
Well, they don't have
anything. Now, which one is it?
Right. So let's read the first question that Paul asked. And this is where I was going. If you don't mind, I know it's 8 o'clock, but we have 4 more verses. Okay? So let's ask this question. So 29b, just read the rest of that first question, please.
For why is my freedom judged by another person's conscience?
Okay. So first, why is my freedom judged by someone else's conscience? That's a pretty simple question, right? But which group on the board is he asking that question of? Meaning, he's quoting what their question is. Right.
Do anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, good.
The free one to do anything.
Yeah, the free one to do anything. Why is what I'm doing questioned by any? What's it matter? Yeah. Right? Okay, so now, question number two, verse 30.
If I partake with thanksgiving, why am I criticized? Because of something for which I give thanks.
Okay, so which group is he addressing there with this question?
You could still
say
yeah,
I don't think so.
For that for which I give thanks.
The second group?
I think the other group is legalistic.
Okay.
Thanksgiving.
Because no. He's asking, why do you judge me? Why?
Oh, I see. Yeah, I get it.
So, to me, that would be the legalist who's talking to. Why are you judging me if my conscience is okay? Why are you judging me?
Okay.
I almost feel like he's asking the same question both of
them. Good.
Because it could go up to me, it could go either way.
All right.
You know, the person that does everything can question it. The person that follows all the rules can question it.
Good. So these are the two questions that I said at the very beginning that I have struggled with for probably as long as I've ever read 1 Corinthians or listened to anything, because these questions have never made sense to me. So let me just pause here and ask you, do these questions make sense if we point them to he's asking a legalistic group and a freedom to do anything group? Not necessarily the independence on which one they assign to, but does it make sense that these questions are asked to these two extreme groups?
I think so. I can see some middle ground between both of them, like questioning the legal group, but also like the group that feels free to do anything, like asking the question. Like, you know,
good.
Yeah.
All right. So now we come to one of the most famous verses ever in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. So let's read that verse.
Whatever then you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God.
Okay, so this comes right after asking these two difficult questions. Why am I judged? Because I think everything's fine. Or, I gave thanks. What's it matter what I do? What is Paul's point in asking those questions when we couple this with, listen, whether you eat or you drink, these are the two basic things that we do in life. We eat food, we drink. Even in those two basic things, whatever we do, we are to do it to the honor and glory of God. How is he addressing those two questions above and causing them to have this rattle moment and shaking them into an epiphany? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
How is he doing this?
I take it as he's saying that as long as you do it for the glory of God, you're okay.
Okay.
Does it come down to intent? I mean, is that a good word for it?
Yeah. Who is it that's going to be impacted? So at the very beginning of this, he made the statement that, well, not everything's beneficial, not everything is constructive, or we said helpful, or edifying, or building up, but we are to consider someone else, right? We're to consider others before ourselves. And so when we come down to this idea of whether I eat or drink, or whatever it is that I'm doing, even my daily stuff, going, walking, God convicts me all the time when I drive. When I'm driving, right? I'm not a good driver on the road. I'm a good driver. I'm just not a good driver. No matter what I'm doing, I am to do that to honor and glorify God. And I need to do that in an appropriate manner. Interestingly, that he points this out, that who is, so again, Psalms 24, it asks the question, who is the King of Glory? It's the Lord. Right? Capital letters, L-O-R-D, in the Old Testament is Yahweh, the very name of God. Yahweh means I am. He is the one who creates. I am is the King of Glory. So here's our recap. And this is how we're going to close. So if it's beneficial or helpful, if it's constructive and builds someone up, and I'm showing love to others like Christ showed for me, I'm to do it to the honor and glory of God. And here's the reason why. Let's read verses 32 through 11, chapter 11, verse 1.
Do not cause anyone to stumble, whether Jews, Greeks, or the Church of God. Even as I try to please everyone in every way, for I am not seeking my own good, but the good for many, so that they may be saved. Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ.
So what is the purpose of looking at everything that we do in the eyes of, is it beneficial? Does it edify? Does it show love to others? Am I glorifying God? What is the purpose of all of these actions, of this decision process?
To help save someone.
To help someone come to know Jesus as their Savior.
I think to see Jesus in you to where, they want that as well.
They want that. They crave that. They see, I'm missing that. Right? And it's not that we have to be legalistic. It's not that we aren't free. We have freedom through Christ, right? Freedom through the gospel. But we don't have to be legalistic about things. We can take everything in this manner and say, is that beneficial to me and to someone else? Is it building someone else up? Is it building my relationship up? Am I showing love to other people? And can I honor and glorify God through this? Isn't it interesting that those are the four questions we're supposed to ask? We're not supposed to go to these extremes. We're to ask those four questions. That's what makes our life difficult, because the purpose of asking those four questions is what?
To bring others to God.
Salvation. Right.
They may be saved.
Yeah. So that they may be saved. Now, answer the question, how does he do it? Chapter 11, verse 1. How does Paul do it?
Following his example.
Yeah.
Being imitators. I also imitate Christ.
So Paul says, follow me because I'm following Christ. Right? Paul was alive then. Is Paul alive today? So who is to be followed because they're following Christ?
The people that follow Paul and those people that follow him and those people. Fast forward.
Yeah, who is it?
Christ.
Oh.
It's us. Right?
But those who've been following Christ more than you, or longer than you, I guess.
Well, yeah, it says, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ.
So we're continuing to follow his example.
Exactly. We follow this example that Paul has given so that other people can follow our example, because we are following Christ. That's the application here. It's not that we're replacing our name with Paul. I'm not doing that. That's not what we're doing. We're making the application that Paul says, hey, follow me because I'm following Christ. And we should be willing to say that to our friends. And it's hard. That's where the Christian life is difficult, because for me to look at my friends and say, you need to follow me because I'm following Christ, Well, I can tell you for a good fact that they can look back at me and go, well, you weren't here, and you weren't here, and you weren't here, and I remember this day. Yeah, I know, we had some good laughs about that day. I wasn't following, and I wasn't a good example. That's what makes it difficult. But that's what we're challenged to do. And even Paul had that in his own life. He stood and held the clothes of Stephen when Stephen was stoned. And Paul knows that. But he says, I've overcome. I'm following Christ. Follow me. That's all I have. Do you guys have anything else you want to add to this?
They're always watching.
Everyone is always watching.
And that's the difference is not to lie, I think. Also, it's Greeks, Jews, Christians, this church, that church. It doesn't matter that whoever you're around, you could, like, you potentially have that influence, just like what you had said in the past. Instead of that influence that we all have to each individual, those different individuals that I might not have influence with someone you have influence. So, and we were just talking about that the other day, trying to influence someone to go to a spiritual retreat. I didn't have the influence, but Don did.
I didn't.
Well, someone listened to him and they didn't listen to me. You know, so it's just, we all have to try to take that and see, like, okay, who is this person that I'm talking with? Who is this person I'm going to go out to dinner with? Or lunch break, or whatever that may be. That each individual person, and also the environment you put yourself in, applies to how you live by God in your daily walk.
I love that there's so many, you know, but I hear, you know, all the way back, you know. Moses, you know, Joshua who followed Moses, and, you know, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Enoch, and God translated, before God translated him, he had this testimony.
He did.
That he pleased God. And I'm a great believer in, if you're going to work at anything, if legalism, going to work at something, work at pleasing God. Yeah, not pleasing an administration or some church, you know, organization. Yeah,
right.
Work at pleasing God. And it is work, it's sacrifices after sacrifice. That's what Paul went through. Well, sacrifice after sacrifice after sacrifice after sacrifice. You know, I mean, man, you get beat up like he did. Oh, you say you may be ready to throw the towel in. You know, just through the sacrifices and the beatings he took. That's what I try to do. I mean, I believe that's. It's a whole lot. If you go from 1 to 10, it's pretty high on God's list. If God's pleased with you, what can I say bad about you? Where have I got any right to say? You know, And I've been on both sides of the coin, you know, both sides of the fence. But that's why these men were so great. They followed God. Yeah, they did what God told them to do. Just like in the second chapter, the marriage at Cana. You know, they ran out of wine, you know. And Mary told him, said, whatsoever he says, do it. Two little words, and you can't go, but you can't even follow that. Do it. Yeah. It's that simple. That's how simple the gospel is. Do it. You know.
Well, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do love you, and we thank you that you are God, and your name is I Am. You are capable of empowering us to do your word and to do this work. And you allow us to follow you and to follow these examples that you've given to us in the Bible to make good, solid decisions that don't cause us to fall into crazy traps. Beneficial, constructive, for others to honor you so that those can come to know you as their Savior. Lord, may that be our goal in all the things that we do this week. Challenge us, cause us to change our heart where we need to, change our actions, change our thoughts. We love you, in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.